Rewind. Now we wait it. Radio Rewind. Now we wait it. Radio Rewind. Radio Rewind. The following content has previously aired on CJSF. But don't worry, we'll be back next week with fresh content. CJSF 90.1 FM. Diverse. Independent. Yours.
Music and talk radio about all things, all genders. This is Intravenous, live on CJSF 90.1 FM. Discussing and approaching contemporary gender issues through a feminist lens, our goal is to educate, engage, and challenge the dominant hegemony.
Good morning and happy Wednesday. Welcome to Intravenous on Campus Community Radio, CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting from the unceded and ancestral territories of the Kwikwetlem, the Musqueam, the Squamish, and the Tsleil-Waututh peoples. I'm Robin, and I am bringing you an interview that I did with a couple of members of the cast from Coven, which is a brand new documentary on witchcraft that was made and produced by Canadian feminist director Rama Rao. I have Laura Hochstad on the show. Laura is a queer Toronto-based art director and tarot card reader. She is also the host of the YouTube series on Rue Morgue TV called Terror Tarot, where she analyzes the use of tarot cards in horror films. Laura has always had a strong interest in the occult and magic. And through the use of tarot cards and her solitary practice, Laura searches for a deeper understanding of herself and those around her. I'm also joined for the conversation with Andra Zletscu, who is a Romanian musician, performer, illustrator, and tarot reader. Andra is passionate about creation that serves to act as a spell to open the doorways by honoring the land, their ancestors, and traditions. She plays and sings saw and guitar in the band Willow Switch and loves to create haunting, ethereal, doomy folk music. Andra's witchcraft practice is rooted in reclaiming her ancestral practice and learning to walk the roads of her ancestry. We're going to jump into that interview right now here on Intravenous. Okay, thanks for joining me today on the show. Let's begin with a Coles Notes or a synopsis of the Canadian documentary film Coven and some of the themes underpinning the story.
Sure. Basically, the film directed by Rama Rao, who in all of her work previously has always kind of looked at the world through like a feminist lens. So I would say that the first part of Coven is really an examination of witchcraft and feminism, and it follows three different women and their journey through discovering what witchcraft means to them, like socially, culturally, and historically as well. That's kind of how I would describe it.
Yeah, of which Laura and myself and Leilani are, and I think it also really explores the relationship between the past moving into the present of how witchcraft has been related to feminism and specifically women stepping into their power.
That's such a great synopsis because it's also going to sort of point to some other questions that I have and is nicely relatable. So thank you. I want to ask you both individually, what brought you to the craft and how would you personally describe witchcraft?
So for me, it was definitely being raised with my grandmother and also my father's stories. And a lot of them were folklore, a lot of them were fairy tales, but at the root of them was this worldview that everything is sacred, everything is alive, magic is everywhere. And so I had the absolute like luck and honor and privilege to never have to be raised out of those beliefs. They were prevalent in my family everywhere. So I never had to dissociate from that magical way of thinking and then come back to it and reestablish it. So I really feel like it's always been a part of me.
Amazing. I feel like for myself, witchcraft has really been very personal. And like I talk about in the documentary as well, pretty closely tied to my identity as a queer person as well. I feel like when I was younger and exploring kind of witchcraft on my own, I was just trying to like figure it out as I went and just kind of following my instincts. And then it wasn't till later where I was like, oh, maybe what I'm doing is part of this practice and it's something bigger than, you know, just me like running around in the forest, like collecting things and, you know, doing these little rituals that I didn't even really know I was creating. So I've always felt like witchcraft for me was very like introspective because I was mostly a solitary practitioner. But I think as I've explored my practice more, it's felt quite a bit more empowering and kind of like transgressive almost as well.
Great, thank you. On this show, specifically Intravenous, we focus on exploring gender expression through an intersectional feminist lens. What does witchcraft offer us in our understanding of gender and gender roles and the binary of masculine and feminine? I know that sounds like a big question.
This is a tricky question, and part of the reason why I feel it's a tricky question is that in the 1960s, when Wicca was becoming really prevalent, and a lot of these more ceremonial magical systems were becoming really popular and within the social cultural gaze, binary masculine and feminine roles within magic were such a part of those traditions. And so approaching those traditions and those communities that were established around that time and have been ongoing and entering in dialogue with them in present day, you know, as a non-binary person, you know, or as a queer person, or as someone who carries many different worlds within them and holds them all equally real, equally true, wants them all to have the space to exist and manifest in the world, that becomes a more difficult conversation because I think witchcraft will always also represent kind of the values and the worldview of the people practicing it. So we enter into that dialogue with the older views of like the elders within that community. And also it's our role to challenge those things. And in that way, witchcraft grows with us and continues to be relevant and continues to be powerful and present, but only when we actually challenge a lot of those limiting beliefs that exist everywhere. It's not just a matter of because you carry this alternative identity, you're necessarily not going to carry your cultural bias in your practice, whether you want to or don't want to. So I think the most powerful thing is continuing to dismantle those systems, which even if our mind doesn't believe them, sometimes we carry them within our body and within ourselves and within our worldview and how we approach these alternate spaces or magical discussions or different ways of being. And so continuing to challenge that, I feel, is part of what makes witchcraft really powerful. Because it's always been tied to non-normative identities, but I feel like each generation creates space for what would have before been considered non-normative. And so we have to keep pushing against that and pushing against it.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't really say I can add anything to that, Andra. That was like beautifully said. I think I definitely agree. I think now the way that we're seeing maybe like modern witchcraft kind of manifest is that it's kind of taking a step out of this like patriarchal kind of mindset or rules or expectations, because it kind of seeks to like empower individuals and their self-expression. I think we're kind of moving away from that, but I definitely agree there are like traditions and ways of being that even it, within witchcraft have to be questioned and dismantled, like you so eloquently said.
I love in that answer how it points to the practice or the craft being such a living, breathing phenomenon, you know, rather than this very staid and this is what it looks like and this is what it has always looked like, therefore this is what it will always look like. And that there's this real fluidity to me, which in my understanding of, you know, how the masculine and the feminine energies work, right? The feminine energy is that fluid creatrix, more chaotic almost energy. And so there is a bit of a definition in terms of, you know, how witchcraft might speak to the feminine a little bit stronger, just energetically. That's just my take on it.
And to respond to that, I think we often talk about creator, like creation, but I think the other aspect of that is destroyer too. And I think like part of women's power, you know, to speak of it in that way is like the creator, destroyer, destroyer, creator. And so when you ask me, what is witchcraft to me? Well, witchcraft is claiming our capacity to create. But in order to create, we have to carry that duality of destroying what is not serving us in order to have the space for manifesting the world that we dream of. And within our sphere of influence, you know, whether that's a couple of people or a whole community, each of us has the capacity to create the world as we want to see it everywhere, to treat people the way we think everybody should be treating each other. And so creating our own little, like, you know, like utopias, really. And I feel like creating those worlds around us makes them inhabitable. And that's actually how we change the future and exercise our magic and exercise our power, because maybe your sphere of influence starts at really, really small. And it's just you and your cat, and you treat your cat with integrity and you treat your cat with grace and you make sure that cat is loved and fed. But I think you start to build those relationships of like alignment with your mind, body, your spirit, your integrity, and then your sphere of influence starts to grow and it starts to grow and it starts to grow. And that's what it means to claim our power, is to claim our capacity as world creators, world builders, and also world destroyers for the worlds that are not feeding our spirits or healthy for us or serving our communities.
Our listening audience can't see it, but I'm nodding along to what you're saying, and Laura too. Yeah, that's such a nice segue into this next question that I have. There was an article by Anne Theriault called "The Real Reason." Women Love Witches, which was published in Medium. And she says, sort of tongue in cheek, it's not about broomsticks or cats, it's about power. And you started to really talk about this, Andra, but what does the power look like to you, if you want to elaborate on it, and if you want to chime in, Laura? Mm-hmm.
Well, I looked up the article just in advance because I was curious to see what else Anne was saying about it. And I mean, I do kind of agree it is a little bit about cats, at least for me, just because I have two and I love them. And but in all seriousness, at the beginning of the article, she kind of talks about this girlhood experience that I related to. It was kind of like she speaks about going to sleepovers and having this group of young girls together and their, you know, kind of practicing different types of divination, even like in in a childish way, maybe doing like a seance or trying to talk through a Ouija board, all these like sleepover kind of cliches. But I really think that speaks to why young girls and young children, I think, or young people are drawn to witches as a source of power, because it's this group of people who really don't feel very empowered at that stage of life, and you're searching for that power and control in your own way. And I think that's why it's so appealing to young girls or young people, because you're kind of searching for that. And I feel like that kind of follows you into adulthood, at least for myself. And I feel like it is, that ongoing search for, personal empowerment. And I think I definitely find that through my practice.
Anything to add, Andra, about power and what that looks further to you?
To add a little bit to that, I do think it's stepping into your power and not being afraid of, what we would consider the more dangerous aspects of power, like anger, for example. Like anger can burn things down. Anger can be a boundary setter. Anger can be a protector. And so I think part of witchcraft is really learning to claim all aspects of your power, to be comfortable with your shadow aspects, to hold all of those worlds as true and equal, and to ground yourself in all of them, and therefore like access your full power. And I see this modern trend that I think we have to be really careful of, which witchcraft is really popular right now, and it's really popular right now also as a form of like edgy consumerism. And what ends up happening is, this movement that's really meant to empower, especially, like you said, Laura, like often young insecure women at an age where they're learning who they are, can be just as disempowering when what it's doing is saying, I'll sell you a spell or I'll sell you a candle that will like solve your anxiety or solve your depression or like, fix the problems in your life. Because the problem with a lot of traditional religion is it adds an intermediary between you and your truth. And so the only teachers you should follow are the ones that bring you back to your heart. And it's not about, buying the right stuff or buying the right tools or looking the right way, because we used to live in a world, there's also a separation between witchcraft and like animism. Like many of us used to live in a world where everything was sacred, magic was everywhere. We all honor the land and how those relationships really, really strong within us. And so there's absolutely no reason, I feel, to not walk those paths now and to not have those direct experiences with the sacred and what we would consider magic, what we would consider miracles. And so being really, really careful of like what intermediaries we put between ourselves and the experience of the sacred.
But it's so easy to want someone else to solve our problems for us.
Yes, very true.
Well, and as a tarot reader too, like one of the things I'm always trying to remind people is, you carry your truth with you. If I tell you anything that doesn't resonate with you at all, don't listen to me, because ultimately the only reason I'm able to read these truths is because that person walked through my door already carrying and like deep somewhere in their spirit already knowing those things and seeking their own healing and seeking their own growth. And so, yeah, like even when you're given those opportunities where you can really, tell someone, or you're given power in their life where you can tell them if something's right or wrong, like really holding that as like a deeply ethical thing of like always bringing it back to their power and their truth and what feels right to them.
Yeah, I completely agree, because I also read tarot, and I say it's similar things to anyone who comes through for reading. It's like whatever resonates with you, take that. And I also say like tarot isn't going to, like predict the future or give you lottery numbers or, all these things that people think it will. But what it will do is like help you kind of shine light onto, like you said, Andra, to your own truths and what you kind of already know. It just helps guide you maybe if you're unsure of that path, but you've got it in here.
I know a little, well, probably a little more than a little bit about astrology, and I've heard it say that people speak their chart, you know, and it's what you're both saying about those truths that live within us and live within our hearts. There's only so much we can do to mask those. As much or as hard as we try, sometimes they still shine through. And, you know, if someone says something that really rings, we feel it, you know, we know it to be the case. Mm-hmm. On a similar note and sort of, going back and quoting, another woman, Erica Feldman, is the proprietor of House Witch, which is a shop in Salem, Massachusetts. And she says that for her, the initials witch stand for woman in total control of herself. And I'm just wondering how that acronym resonates with you, and what have been the touch points of gaining this self-control in your own journeys?
For me, I found like it's a funny acronym. I think that's cool that it lines up that way. And I think certainly for Erica as a business owner, I think like in Salem and making this huge empire of House Witch, like that acronym definitely resonates. I think I heard her say in an interview too, that just even taking back the word witch is kind of like a radical feminist act. And I definitely feel that way as well. But personally, I don't know if it was self-control that I was really searching for in my journey anyway. It was more like self-acceptance. So, you know, as like I say, I love that it's that acronym, but I found for myself, it wasn't so much self-control. It was more about introspection, self-acceptance, self-reflection, and finding that power within more so.
Yeah, I actually really kind of disagreed with that definition. And I find it, I think, like this very, like, the idea of control over yourself or over things around you, like, is often this very top-down power, right? It's your mind over matter, your logic often over your emotions or your intuition. And I think it's also part of this really almost like capitalist worldview of each person as this individual subject, you know, separate from community, separate from the land, separate from, you know, like the bigger waves of like energy or experience that a lot of us tend to share. And so while each of us does have, I believe, our own gifts that we've come here to share and our own frequency that we put out into the world, and these are the reasons, you know, we've come here, in my belief. I don't think that it's that separate from the rest of the world or the rest of creation. And I think trying to control things is often a fear-based response. And the harder thing is accepting and allowing yourself to be a part of all of these beautiful relationships that we find ourselves in.
Yeah.
I can't help think about the spot in the documentary where the high priestess says there's just a few rules to witchcraft, and one of them, or, you know, one of the most salient ones, is that it's a benevolent dictator, that there's no contradicting the goddess, you know, and that idea of, you know, that we could have control over ourselves, and how that could ever trump the higher sacred or more divine understanding of, you know, who's really in charge here.
It's tricky. Have the sacred within and the sacred without and the goddess within and the goddess without. And so, yeah, I feel like our inner and our outer worlds reflect each other in that. And I know the priestess who said that, you know, is coming at it from this very like Wiccan, like more hierarchical view of things as well. Yeah, Laura, do you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, I think, you know, through the experience in the doc too, just seeing how different people have do their practice and how it's very, you know, like for that specific high priestess, like you said, very Wiccan influence, and it is very structured in kind of that traditional way that we might see another type of religion within like an institution and kind of this top-down type of thing. But I think that that's one specific person's practice and their beliefs. And I think the beautiful thing about witchcraft as a whole is that you can kind of, there's so many different avenues that you can go down. And then I think just looking for mentors and looking for other folks who more so share your beliefs, and then, you know, finding more of a community and a connectedness is what spoke to me. So that is kind of where I found myself lying. But you know, certainly there are some more structured belief systems even within witchcraft.
Yeah, and the only teachers you should follow are the ones that guide you back to your heart. And I think that's one of the most powerful lessons I've been taught by any of my teachers, because nothing should be an intermediary between you and your own sense of truth.
Yeah, completely agree, absolutely.
I'm talking to two of the cast members from the documentary Coven, Laura Hochstad and Andra Zletsky. And I know that both of you brought a song to share with our audience. I'm going to invite you to introduce the songs that we're going to hear. And then we'll be back to continue our conversation. Who wants to share their song first?
I'll go first. The song that I brought and chose is the song Memory from Witch Prophet, who is also a subject within our documentary. Leilani is a queer Toronto-based artist, and this song is from her most recent album called Gateway Experience. And it was also produced by her wife, Sun Sun. So I hope everyone enjoys it.
Can't remember the last time I'll simply stand in the local grocery.